One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thank you for coming back to us. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, as always, on the soundboard is Robert Timothy.
How you doing?
Dave is not in this week, but filling in for him, buddy to the show. He's been on as a guest, but this is his first time as the guest host, Mr. Big Frog Enrique Cordero, everybody.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for being here. Thanks for filling in. A few things to go over this week. Bobby and I had a show last night in South Bay.
Awesome show.
It was great. It was great for you. You had a great set.
It's a great show. It's a clean room that gets run down in the South Bay. And normally clean rooms, Frog, you know this. Normally when you hear clean room, you're like, I don't know if my material will work. Yeah. I don't know how it's going to go. But this was at a brewery. It was at night. They just happened to do clean comedy. And the audience was fantastic. It was like one of the loosest audiences in terms of giving you laughter and appreciating you and like listening and stuff. It was really impressive.
So Bobby went on, he crushed it. Then Dewey Bratcher was featuring, he crushed it. Then it was time for me to headline. And I got up, first two jokes went really well. And then, first of all,
I'm laughing because I've seen a lot of comedy shows. I've hosted a comedy open mic for years. I've done a bunch of stuff. Something happened last night to Ryan I've literally never seen happen to anyone ever before.
I was in the middle of my setup for my third bit, and all of a sudden, a fucking dog just starts barking. They allow dogs in there.
He got heckled by a dog.
Yeah. And you know this. The audience loved it. In fact, I'm going to actually say, the first time it happened, it was a little bit delightful. Yeah. Everyone was because it came in like it's such a...
It was like at a break. It was almost like the dog was laughing with you.
And I think I even said, like, has anyone ever done this? And the dog was like, bark!
Yeah.
So the crowd loved it. I did a little bit about it, and then I continued. But then the asshole didn't take his dog outside. So now I'm just like in the middle of a story. And I'm like, so anyway, I'm on the trolley. Bow, 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 bow. I'm like, so, and he's refusing to take this fucking dog out. And now when it happens the first time, but it happens a second and third time, I don't have enough fucking shit to address this.
You don't have enough
times.
Dog heckling comebacks to work on stage.
My well is very shallow when it comes to the dog jokes.
I've just never seen that happen before. Like, how could you be prepared? And normally, if you're like me, you've thought of, okay, I've had hecklers before, and I have a few, you know, lodged in the chamber just in case I get heckled during a show, because you want to make sure you can come back real quick. I got that going. I have never even considered having a dog heckling comeback on standby just in case, much less four of them.
I had thought that I'd gone through every scenario in my head for any possible heckle ever. And the thing is, you know, I'm not even that much in practice with it because, Big Frog, you probably have the same thing as I do. I actually don't get heckled that often because I think because hecklers are bullies, and when they see a bunch of like, you know, fat dorks up there, they're like, yeah, fuck you. Right. But when they see someone like me or Big Frog, they're probably like, not this one.
Yeah, we'll get the little spindly dude who comes on after him.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait till the woman goes on so I can yell something about her boobs. Nah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not gonna heckle this guy. This guy looks like a thug.
Right, and the dog
didn't know.
Yeah.
The greatest part is like this brewery is an indoor outdoor.
He didn't get the memo about how intimidating I am.
Right.
The greatest thing is this brewery is an indoor outdoor brewery, and you can sit outside. Like the comics were kind of sitting outside in the outdoor part, just listening. You can still hear the sets, but you can be out there. There's a taco truck out there. It's fucking fantastic, by the way. Bay Bridge, great show. Go on Friday nights. But the guy didn't even take his dog out to like the outdoor area. He's just like, he's part of the show now.
Right. He did that thing. Like I almost blame myself because when you engage a heckler and try to be like, oh, let's talk, buddy, what's your name? Then they think it's like permission to keep going.
Exactly.
So I think the guy was like, oh, everyone's loving this. So my ill-behaved dog. Yeah.
Well, what was great.
The show.
Yeah, what was great is Dewey featured, and when he was going up before him, he had some guys who were not quite heckling, but doing that thing where they laugh somewhat obnoxiously before the joke is actually told, and they were sitting at the bar, and Dewey called them out and did a great job of like handling hecklers, and they weren't even really heckling. They were just kind of like being
obnoxious. Getting in my own head by the time this happened. What did he say?
Yeah, he basically did the whole like I don't go to your job and throw an extra patty on the thing like that, that kind of stuff, and then went after him a little bit and just had some fun with him. But basically he quelled the crowd, and he did that thing that you guys all know. Sometimes you got a rowdy crowd, you need one comic to go up there and kind of like put it to one person, make an example.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden everybody else falls in line, and that's exactly what happened. And from that moment on, people started shutting up around, and they weren't talking during his set, and it went even better, and he did great. He did fantastic the entire time, but it went even better after that. And so, like, he kind of had wrangled the entire crowd, and it was so funny to see this really wrangled, disciplined, hilarious, fun-loving crowd suddenly get interrupted by one non-human member.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's a very delicate practice when you're trying to quell a bar audience. Because for me, I know a lot of comics will disagree with me on this, but I have no problem telling people to shut the fuck up in a comedy club, because that's you coming into my world. Exactly. That's my world. But I don't like doing that at a bar, because I feel like that's us going into their world.
Absolutely.
You know, some of these people didn't know the show. There was going to be a show. We turned off their TVs and their jukebox. Mm-hmm. We covered the pool table. Mm-hmm. And now we're telling them to also be quiet. I don't do that, you know.
Right.
Also, they're not paying $15 for drinks. Yep. Right. They might have had 10 already.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I never tell people at a bar to shut the fuck up. That's what's so interesting. Like, we shove ourselves into the places we're not always welcome.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, everyone, I know you didn't want this, but shut up.
Maybe you should have done your set at the Petco, Ryan. Maybe you should have,
Yeah. Some people, though, those comics, they can be very entitled. Like, hey, excuse me, I'm trying to create my art up here. Like, well, I'm trying to get drunk and talk to this chick. Fuck you.
Yep. Also, too, you're going to have to start expecting to see dogs in places that you didn't used to see dogs. Because this service dog thing is, like, out of control.
Absolutely it is. I actually watched an old man call a chick out for having a fake service dog the other day.
Uh-huh.
It was, I got hard.
Oh, I would have laughed.
Now, this guy, he looked like an old Southern gentleman. And that's how he talked, like Foghorn Leghorn, kind of. And he had big suspenders. And this woman was being a bitch in the store. And he starts trying to, like, talk and pet to the dog. She's like, don't touch my service animal. You're not supposed to. And he goes, I don't think that's a service animal at all. And she's like, how dare you? If you knew what this dog was for, you'd be ashamed of yourself. He goes, I believe that the only need that the dog satisfies is your need to have a canine.
Did he mention that he wasn't a big city lawyer?
I'm not a big city lawyer like my opponent here. I am just a small town man from Louisiana. She starts flipping out at him. He's like, well, what is that dog for then? She's like, I don't have to tell you anything. He's like, well, of course you don't. But it is my right to ask as an American. I was laying on the floor, clutching my Cheez-Its, just banging them against the linoleum.
Yeah,
the two worlds colliding right
there. Oh, so good.
My questions are like, are you blind? No. Do you have narcolepsy? No. Do you get seizures? No. kind of smelling bullshit.
Yep. I was raped in the 80s. That's nothing to do with the dog.
My cousins were flying, right?
And
they're posting pictures of themselves and their two dogs on the plane.
Boo!
And I'm like, everybody on that plane hates you right now.
Yep. Yeah. 100%.
Didn't they have to land a plane somewhere because the dog took a dump in the aisle?
I think it was because of a dog fight. But yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I still believe that the best thing we can do is start a renegade force of Navy SEAL type people, and their entire job is to kidnap fake service dogs. So if you bring your fake service dog to the airport and you walk through, they do the same thing. You blind? No. Narcolepsy? Something like that? Seizures? No. Okay, fine, fair enough. And then we wait for you to walk away, and then they just run up, grab the dog, take him off to a family that isn't mentally insane. Take him to somebody who's a little bit more stable.
Yeah.
You don't need the dog anymore. And if you do that a few times, people will stop faking the service dog thing.
There you go.
Now, another thing, though, is like I understand that you're not supposed to interact or pet or talk to a real service dog.
Right.
I don't know why, but I understand.
Because it throws off what they're doing.
Yeah, that's just part of it. I get it, but if you have a fake service dog, please do not enforce the do not show it any love part, you know?
Yeah.
I get it. You've bullshitted your way, and you got a fake vest on Amazon,
right?
And now you can have your fucking German Shepherd wherever you go.
Right. Your weed doctor gave you a note.
Yeah,
we get it.
Yeah, but at least let me fucking pet it on the head and say, go boy. Come on. Let's not deprive him of the good stuff, please. Oh, anyway. Had a movie audition recently.
Let me guess. You're going to be the new Tom Cruise role. You're going to be
too tall. So, are you guys familiar with what a mockbuster is?
No.
That's like a Sharknado type thing?
No, Sharknado is its own sci-fi. That's just a shittily done movie.
Okay.
No. However, this is the studio that did Sharknado.
Ooh,
nice. I know you're familiar with Asylum, maybe?
Yeah.
But anyways, a mockbuster is, do you ever go to Redbox right before a big movie comes out and there's like Transformers is about to come out and you see Transmorphers? You're like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
And like all of a sudden when I believe the first one I ever saw was back in 07, Snakes on a Plane was about to come out, and Snakes on a Train debuted in Blockbuster. That is a mockbuster. It's designed to trick stupid people. That's really all it is. It's for some dude. I mean, because already if you're using Redbox, you're probably a little bit, you know, just behind things.
Yeah, you're standing there. There's glare.
Yeah, and there's a guy behind you impatiently tapping his foot, and all of a sudden you see some guy goes like, "Oh shit, Transform! That's the movie that's supposed to come out. Oh, it's on Redbox.
Wow, already?
Yeah, already. Oh, they fucked up. I'm gonna capitalize on this. It's meant to trick stupid people.
Wow, their logo should just be like, 'We peddle disappointment.'
No, yeah, no, yeah, and or like not even stupid people. Like it's meant to maybe like deceive someone who just like read it incorrectly. I mean, you don't have to be stupid to be tricked by these things.
Right.
God, I saw like a few of them. Like instead of Battle for Los Angeles, there's Battle of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Like it's a little word that can change, and it's totally in play. Age of the Hobbits was one of their movies. Anyways, you can look them up. You can look up Mockbuster, and you'll be so floored with the shit they shamelessly Alien versus Hunter.
They're basically doing porn parodies without the porn.
Without the porn. Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Years ago, Pacific Rim came out. Mm-hmm. And a movie, Asylum was really quick to put out Atlantic Rim.
Wow.
And I guess that Pacific Rim 2 is coming out because I just got an audition for Atlantic Rim 2.
Here's what's funny. I believe Pacific Rim, now I'm not exactly a Pacific Rim expert, but I believe it's actually in reference to the Ring of Fire, which is the tectonic plates that surround the Pacific, and I think it's like a volcano slash earthquake type movie. Am I right on that?
No. It is... monsters come out of the sea like in Godzilla.
Okay.
This is the Pacific Rim. I'm not spoiling it. I wouldn't leak the secrets of this script to all you people out there and violate my terms.
Right.
But anyway, it's like Godzilla-type creatures come out of the sea, and we create large robots to combat them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Earth versus Godzilla.
Because what I was going to say is there is no tectonic plates that do the same thing in the Atlantic. So it's kind of funny that they would just go, we'll just switch Pacific to Atlantic. It'll be the same thing.
Oh, that's not all that's wrong with it. It's called Atlantic Rim, and it takes place in Los Angeles. They didn't even change that. And they're just like, okay, they're Pacific, we'll call it Atlantic. So it takes place in New York? Fuck no, I'm not flying to New York. Right.
Anybody who's willing to rent this movie won't notice the difference.
Yeah. So it still takes place.
Wow.
They were too lazy to make it in New York. Oh, man. No. So anyway, hope I get that one so I can immediately take down this episode.
Now, are you going to be the robot or the monster?
I went out for a part of Russo, who is my only knowledge of the character thus far after my first audition was he is a military man with demons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So. The kind that comes in handy in exactly that situation.
Right.
He comes in handy, or he's the guy that loses his shit halfway through and like becomes a bigger problem than the monsters. I'm not sure which way I'm going to go on that one.
I have a deep, dark past of being dreadfully afraid of large monsters and robots meant to fight them. I hope it doesn't come back to haunt me in the next 24 hours.
I was molested while watching Mothra versus... Godzilla, and so this is really a PTSD moment for me.
Right. No bright light bulbs, please.
I need my service animal every time I see the big monsters in the sea. So the thing is, people are like, I love this question where I tell people like, yeah, I'm going out for a Mockbuster part. Or like, you know, remember when I did the audition to be on that I Killed My Spouse show?
Right.
People hear about the parts I'm being put out for by my agent, and they're like, well, why don't you just go out for bigger parts and did good movies? So I'm like, oh, fucking thanks, man. I didn't think of that.
Fucking solid advice.
He pulls out a Sharpie and writes on his hand, good movies.
Yeah. I cross out Asylum Pictures and write Steven Spielberg. Right. All right. I'm going to forward this to my agent. From now on, only stuff from MGM and Universal, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Is like I don't really like acting very much. I like stand-up comedy. I like doing this with you guys. But it was made very clear by my agent, if you want to continue being a comic, unless you want to just stop where you are right now, you got to do acting.
What's so weird. That's such a weird idea, but I guess it must be true. They seem to know the industry better than we do, right? But it seems like a weird thing. Like, I want to get on stage and tell jokes to people. This is what I'm good at. This is what works well. Okay, that's great, but instead, I'd like you to dress up like a bunny and be in a kid's movie. That's how you become a real stand-up comic.
Right, right. And it's true, because I don't know if this happened to you guys, but I can't count the times I've been bumped off shows for a guy that was like on one episode of General Hospital.
Yeah, because I'm like, somehow that's a
credit.
He
sounds hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, well, he's got TV credits. What do you got? I'm like, Hulu? Fuck you. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah. And like, he made it clear, like, before Patton Oswalt was Patton Oswalt, he was that guy on King of Queens.
Right.
Let's give him money.
Hey, right. Nobody, literally, there's nobody in the general public, comedians knew him, but nobody knew Bill Burr, one of the biggest comics on earth, until he was a guest spot on Breaking Bad. And that's what, like, oh, now he became a household name.
And he wasn't funny on that show. He was a henchman.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing. It's so weird after nearly a decade doing stand-up comedy, and I'm by no means a name in stand-up, but, you know, I've gotten to a point where I can, like, ask for certain money to do certain gigs, and all of a sudden, having this whole new facet where I just have to start at the bottom. I'm essentially at the open mic level of acting, and right. I have to just completely start over and be an Atlantic Rim, maybe, if I'm lucky.
I think I'm going to go with committing a high-profile crime.
Ooh!
I think that will get my name out there quick.
I think so, yeah.
Or just getting, like, a four-word catchphrase on Dr. Phil, apparently. Any of that will get you where you need to be in terms of being a successful stand-up comedian.
Did you hear that they gave her a record deal yesterday with Atlantic Records?
I saw you posted that, and I immediately went from the happiness I did have when we found out that her comedy tour got canceled a couple months back to, okay, we're back in the real world of sadness and despair.
I mean, her tour got canceled for lack of ticket sales.
I think it got canceled, Ryan. If I remember correctly, it got canceled because they had too many ticket sales.
Right, because that's the thing that happens. Oh, man, they're all sold out. Cancel it. Yeah, no, that does not happen in the real world. How out of touch can you possibly be? She's a meme from a year ago. Yeah.
What's funny is they're going to take somebody's serious music that they worked on,
right,
and they're just going to put her shit on it.
That's right. That's right. That's what happens. Like, I was so surprised. Well, not too surprised. My friend is an intern for Sony, and he, like, is part of writing beats and melodies, and, like, someone like, I don't know, Macy Gray will walk in and be like, all right, play me a bunch of them. Yeah. No. All right, I want that one. Yeah. Give them money, and it's mine, and make sure to put just my name on it.
Right.
Oh, it's crazy.
But at least she sings over them and is somebody who made her career doing music, and that's how she came up. And now, like you said, she's reached a level where she's able to do that.
Right.
She didn't yell, "Cash me outside," after being a teen delinquent.
Oh, well, she did, but it wasn't on camera. You know, Macy Gray said that a lot.
The first single's got to be something like, "Catch me outside, catch me outside," something.
Oh, we got? All right, when this first single drops, we're going to have Big Frog back on. I want to see how far off he was.
Right.
My guess, not at all. Not at all off. Oh, my God. Anyway, speaking of shitty stuff, I got stuck talking to a newbie comic at a club recently.
That happens. And if you haven't done stand-up in a while, listen, it's totally cool. When I was new, I talked to the old guys. Like, that's good. That's fine.
That's fine.
You just have to remember where your position is. Like, I was always cognizant of the fact that when you go to talk to these people, they're at work. You are asking their advice. You are not entitled to it. When you go up, just kind of go, hey, by the way, how you doing? Sometimes I'll bring a beer. Hey, how you doing, Eric Knowles? Could you tell me how you get booked in certain shows or blah, 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 blah?
I've been sober for 2 years, you fucking asshole.
You're asking somebody a favor, and it's funny when sometimes people forget that and they just kind of assume, like, well, I just started out. You should teach me everything you know.
Oh, you know, it's not even that. This is what I got stuck to talking to one of the guys who already knew everything.
That's even worse.
He wanted to do all the talking. I feel like when you first get into stand-up, you can't wait to the first time you're interviewed about doing stand-up, but that's several years down the line. In the meantime, you're just busting with, you know, to spill your ethos on someone.
Things you want to say.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, it was unsolicited. Again, I have no problem talking to newer guys. I like doing it. If they're going to ask questions, I think it's a very humbling thing. Like, hey, man, what do you suggest I do with this? Oh, good question. Here's this.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. But this guy, I wasn't even talking to this guy. So I see this one comic I know, and he's wearing a shirt with, like, a funny slogan on it. And I didn't say this rhetorically or to be a dick. I just legitimately asked him out of curiosity. I'm like, hey, man, aren't you afraid that that's going to be, like, distracting? And I was like, I'm always worried that my T-shirts are going to be too distracting. And he's like, yeah, no, I've worn it before. It's okay. I'm like, ah. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this third guy is like, let me tell you why I chose my whole outfit. And before this happened, it was explained to me, this is his second time on stage.
Oh, my God.
Ever. He's like, yeah, you know, I chose this Hawaiian shirt because they're going to see my shirt, and the audience is going to be like, cool, he's got like a chillaxed island vibe. And then they're going to hear the way I talk, and they're going to be like, cool, man, I can get along with this guy. And then my material, they're going to really relate to it more than other people's because it's stuff that everyone can relate. I'm like, is this guy still fucking talking?
Yeah. Is he a fat guy?
Yeah.
There you go. Should have told him. Fluffy did it.
Oh, yeah, he did. He was dressed like Fluffy now that I'm thinking about it.
Damn it.
Dude, this guy talked for like 25 minutes about how he was going to be received, his thoughts on comedy, everything. This guy gave me like a master class in stand-up, second time on stage.
Man.
It's weird when that happens, too, because you would think you now have this opportunity. Like, you are in a club. You've only been on stage twice. Here are some people who have more experience. If you have any questions, stand-up is one of those rare things that you can't look up on Wikipedia to find the answers to. Like, if I said I want to become a neurosurgeon, I can look up online and be like, okay, I need to go get my undergrad degree in a biological science, and then I need to take the MCATs, and I need to apply to med school, and I need to do a residency. Here's the thing. That doesn't exist in stand-up because there's so many different routes and rules.
Says here I need a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. You have to do, really, the best way to do it is to go talk to people who are older than you in the scene that you're in, because it's different from each place, and say, hey, how do I make it to your level? How do I make it to the past level? How do I make it to a regular level? How do I do all this stuff? Because you can't really find that info online, and yet he used that opportunity to be like, let me talk about my shirt.
Let me tell you about all my thoughts on my comedy, my art. Funny?
I could totally put myself in that dude's same headspace, because I do the same thing every time I think, if I win the lotto, this is what I'm going to do. All my plans and all my fucking... It's like, that's... I can see it.
Right.
I can see it. It's right there.
I guess I can see that, you know. But, you know, when that happens, sometimes I worry. I'm like, fuck, did I do any of this shit when I was new? Because I did plenty of embarrassing things when I was new.
So did I.
That I'm like... already ashamed of. I'm like, I hope I didn't also do this and not realize it. I mean, I did that thing when I was new. I went on MySpace at the time. And I didn't have Facebook. And, like, did the whole, comedy's unfair, everyone wants me to fail kind of thing. Oh, and, like, man. I think Christian Spicer, like, messaged me, like, dude, take that down. You sound like an idiot.
Oh, man. You know, the cool thing is that all that stuff that I did as an embarrassing youngster in comedy, I don't remember any of it.
That's right. You were drinking back then.
So it's all good. It wasn't even me.
Another thing is I get sometimes hit up by people that work in bars to do shows there. And this happened this week. It's interesting how quickly money, any talk of money, will stop that conversation dead in its tracks. I just got hit up. This girl's like, hey, you should come perform in my bar. I'm like, all right. I'm like, where's your bar? You know, do you have amplification? You know, do you want it just to be me? Have you done comedy before? I'm asking her all my questions. And she's like, we don't have amplification. You don't have to bring your own PA. We don't have, like, can you bring all the other comics? Can you basically create this show at my bar? I'd love to see it. I went, okay, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. We discussed, like, I'm not available in October. You can get me the end of September or November. And all of a sudden, I'm like, all right, so let's talk budget. You can see the fucking message been read, and I've never heard from her again.
Wow.
I'm like, how do you think I pay my bills with mozzarella sticks and flat beer? Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah. I think that so there are levels of comedians you get for free, and that's fine. You can get an open mic.
Yeah, I'll bring one to open.
Right. Yeah, you can get an open mic for free, but then you have to start realizing that once you get to a certain established level where that person is bringing people, then those people have a fiscal value, and then that person's skill to both do comedy and bring those people has a fiscal value.
If you couldn't do it yourself, you need to pay me.
Right.
You want to run an open mic? Okay, run an open mic. Do you know the first thing to do? Get the word out. Do you know any comics? I bet you fucking do.
Yeah. A bar owner should know that stuff. You know, now we didn't know going in. I didn't know that there was no money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
My brother-in-law, he's playing in a band now. He's a drummer. He's always wanted to be in a band. Now he's older. Now he could be in a band.
Yeah.
And now he's like, hey, so you know any bars that would, you know, have us on? I'm like, yeah, man, probably, whatever, whatever, whatever. He's like, cool. And find out how much they pay.
Oh, you just started?
Oh, yep.
Man, yeah. Okay, just started. That's a whole different little thing there.
And that's a door deal, usually, where you're collecting at the door and taking some percentage of it. It's weird, though, because she contacted you. It would be one thing if you had gone around to bars and been like, you know, I kind of want to start an open mic. We'll see where it goes. If you do that, then maybe you won't get paid the first time because you're the one bringing it to them. And then if you can show them you bring value to their establishment by bringing people in, then maybe you can talk about paying. That's how I worked out all of my open mics. I would say, hey, I'm going to do it for free for the first month. You see an increase in people showing up, then you will cut 10 to 15% of what you're making on an average night to me from the bar. That's fine. But when they're calling you, that's insane. That's like calling up a business. Hey, I'm going to need you to come and retile my floor.
And
No, I mean, not for money, but...
Yeah, and also, like, not even me as, like, the hired gun that shows up just with me and the clothes on my back. They want me to bring the sound system and the rest of the comics and run the motherfucker.
Right.
I'm like... Now I'm just providing you this whole experience now, and you had no money on your mind?
And let's just say this, and this is what a lot of people don't recognize. Let's say you have a show where Ryan goes up. Let's say he has two openers, a feature act. Ryan is headlining, and there's a host involved. So let's say five people are involved in this whole show. It's not like those five people show up 2.5 minutes before the show starts and Ryan has done no work to make anything happen, and all of a sudden the show goes on, and he is only spending those 2+ hours that he is actually physically in the building doing it. Right. The setup time, usually in a general rule, and this it'll get better over time, setup time is 2 times show length. So if you're going to plan for a 2-hour show, imagine 4 hours of prep time, booking your comics, making sure everybody is going to be there on time, getting your sound system, getting there.
Oh, and by the way, setting up a PA is not like one of those pop-up tents that you throw up and it's ready to go. It takes you a while to do that. Right. Then I have to go around, sound check, turn off that TV. Yeah. Oh, fuck. And by the way, it's at a bar. 90% chance there's going to be fucking guys that didn't know I was coming.
Yeah. Right. Oh, and guess what? Comics drop out on you, so you're going to have to figure out a way to scrap at the last second and figure out a way to fill in those holes. All of that is pre-work, meaning they're not just saying, hey, come and do a show for us for 2 hours for free, which is already kind of insulting. Hey, put in about 4 hours of prep work for this show as well.
And if you could sweep the bathrooms when you're done, that would be great.
Yeah, they made kind of a mess.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, so I don't know what their mindset was, but it's fucking insulting. Anyway, I had a question for you guys. Now, we've talked about a few things about childhood stuff. Even, Frog, when you were on last, we talked about your past a little bit. Bobby, did you ever throw a house party in high school when your parents were away?
Yes, though mostly we had a friend's mom. We had a very tight-knit group of friends, and we had one friend's mom who was the cool mom. And she would let us have parties at the house. She would let us drink. I wish she was hot as hell. It was unbelievable. Every one of us was trying to bang her. And she would let us. She was super young. She was like 17 years older than us. So like it was, and she was beautiful.
Game on.
I know. And she would let us throw parties at her house. Now we would throw modest sized parties. Usually she was there, that kind of thing. One day for my buddy.
Oh, so she was the lady like, I'd rather you drink here than out on the street.
Yep.
That's jailable now.
It is. And
I'm not sure how I feel about it. Yeah.
And we were kind of like out. It was a little bit more rural area, so like the neighbors wouldn't complain and stuff. We had this one night where it was her son's birthday, and she told him, all right, it's your birthday. I'm going to go out with a friend to a concert. You can have a party with your buddies, all the guys I know, 11 people maximum. 11 people. I will let you bring 11. That's your buddies, and then maybe a few girls.
I think I see where this is going.
And he said, okay. In fact, your dad, who is not really in his life, he was one of those like dads, cool dads who lived far away but occasionally showed up.
He was dad-esque.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Your dad's going to be there for a few hours.
He was like the McRib. He shows up every 6 months for a few weeks.
Exactly. But he's going to leave after a while, and then you just cut it down to those 11 people, and that is it. And you can stay here and play some video games and drink and do your thing. And he agreed to that. So we start this party off. Now, we had probably gotten way more booze than 11 people would drink. We got 2 kegs and quite a few handles of vodka. We started having this party, and already it gets out of hand. Already there's 50 or 60 people during the daytime while his dad is still there. He gets so blacked out drunk that he tries to fight his dad on the front lawn in front of these 50 or 60 people.
I want that child support. Yeah.
And this was a kid who was like 120 pounds soaking wet of spindliness, and his dad was a much larger dude. His dad so embarrassingly, first of all, told him over and over again, hey, stop that. Stop that. I'm about to embarrass you. Stop that. This isn't going to end well. It's your birthday. You don't want this to happen. And then, all right. Just puts him down in front of everybody.
With a punch or with grappling?
No, with a grab him by the shoulders like a rag doll and slam him to the ground and yell, you're done. Puts him down. This guy ends up after that passing out 10 or 15 minutes later.
It's weird I let a child drink till he's blacked out and then he'd misbehave.
I know. He passes out in a pool of his own vomit. Dad goes off to go do his thing. Now, me and all of this guy's buddies, including Damian Mercado, the other comedian who I do a podcast with, we're all now running this party at our buddy's house. A party continues to get out of hand because...
So now it has nothing to do with you. It's not your house. It's not your birthday. The birthday boy's asleep. The parents are banging people in various parts of the state.
We realize, as we look, that the last thing he did before he passed out was make basically a nationwide phone call of, hey, everybody, party at my house. Everybody show up. He literally passes out next to the phone.
He's clutching it.
Yeah, he is. It's making that noise when you leave the phone off the hook.
Meep.
He's passed out in a puddle of his own vomit around the phone, and people start showing up.
That's
and
like
now,
one of those movie scenes where
yes, it is. It's like Project X. And now,
what it's like Atlantic Rim
had already been a 50 person too many party started just flooding in, and now it gets up, and this the more people start showing up, and we're telling people like, oh, you should probably leave. He occasionally comes out from being passed out enough to be like, let's party more, woo!
Where's my dad? I want round two. I didn't hear no bell, old man.
Everybody else, all these other people obviously are inviting people over. Hey, no parents here, come on over. So all of a sudden...
Yeah, when you find out about that as a kid, I'm like, I don't give a fuck if I know anyone over
right.
there.
All right. We look around and...
I'm going to annex the kitchen as my own. I got five friends with me.
There is no joke. There is probably 300, 400 people at his house. And we are looking around and the house is packed with people. The front yard packed with people. Driveway, everything. Solid human beings. Everybody who is in our high school and the surrounding high schools for the next few miles is all at this party. And his mom comes home.
As his moms tend to do.
His mom is driving in with her friend, the streets for literally two blocks from this kid's house are just lined with cars. And she's like, oh, interesting. Is it Labor Day weekend? Are people having barbecues? And her friend's like, you don't think this is the party at your house? She's like, no. There's only 10 or 11 kids
Why
there.
Would that be? All I did was provide my teenage son with alcohol and a place to party. Right. Why would it get out of hand?
Technically, we provided our own alcohol. But anyway, as they drive up, what they describe as seeing the crowd of people bulging in the street from a block and a half away and realizing what was going on, they come in honking the horn to clear people out of the way to pull into their own driveway as this sea of people part like she's Moses and they just move out of the way. She comes in and she is just livid, looking around and just for anybody she recognizes, sees me, sees Damien, goes, come here, grabs us, grabs him, starts screaming as she's taking us.
Are we going to bang now? Woo! This is the best party ever.
And at this point, people have obviously destroyed the house. They decided to play a game called Hot Onion, where they took an onion, put it in the microwave for 2 minutes, pulled it out as it's molten lava hot, and played hacky sack with it until it eventually hit the ceiling fan and spread out across the entire kitchen. Didn't realize that was a game, but she looks at her house, and she's like, what happened? I said 11 people! And we're sitting there like, it's not our house, we didn't, and she's screaming at us. Great, great memory.
Hey, your ex was here.
Yeah. Yeah, now that I look back on it, I feel like I should be like the one lecturing her. Like, really? Did you think this was a good idea?
You let your deadbeat ex come and give him booze, and he tried to fight. You really thought this would not happen?
Me and Damien and the rest of us spent the rest of the time cleaning up the mess. And by the way, the kid whose house and party it was still passed out, so he didn't even have to do any of the cleaning up.
Oh,
except now, for the dad thing.
Yeah.
Man. What about you, Big Frog? You got the
yeah, man. I mean, see, I was deathly afraid of my parents. My parents.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
So
that's why I did it at the other kid's house.
Yeah. I would have never planned something like that.
Right.
But mine started out as his at someone else's house.
Okay.
And the parents came home early. And as a kid, you don't realize how much beer's in a keg. You know? You think you're going to, you know.
That's so, like a 12-pack at least.
Yeah, so we still had a keg, and we had no place to go, you know. And so
story
I was just
life.
Like, if we go to the beach or something, we're going to get busted.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, whatever. My parents were not home.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck it. I'll be the hero. My house.
Oh, shit.
You know? Oh. So, boom.
And if they're iron fists like mine were, I know what a risk you were taking.
Right? Yeah, it was a big risk. The cool thing was that we got in, whatever, 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 and something broke right away.
What was it?
And I was just like, glass. And I was just like, fuck this.
Yep.
Outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody outside in the back. And my parents were building like a deck. So I was like, okay, nobody by the deck. The cool thing was there was a dumpster back there.
Okay.
So I was just like, fucking throw everything in the dumpster. You know, when you, whatever, whatever.
Whenever
so
you're done with a cup, you throw it in the dumpster.
Mess.
Yeah.
You know, but it got crazy, though. A lot of fucking people.
Word got out in the hood.
Yeah, you know, you got nobody. I wouldn't let nobody in the house, so there was piss everywhere. There was, probably a couple turds. I don't know, you know, whatever, whatever. But yeah, man, it went good. After about, like, probably 12:30 or so, the cops showed up. They got everybody out for me.
Yep.
Oh, so that's the best. You know,
so that was cool, and then I went. I had to jump in the dumpster with bags.
Yep, bag
everything
up.
That didn't look like, you know,
construction debris. Yeah,
in the bags, and then I just drove around and dropped them off in people's yards.
Oh, that's awesome!
And the fucking thing. And the only thing my parents had to say about it was, man, it smells like piss back here. What the fuck happened?
Stupid dog. Yeah. Let me ask you this, Enrique, because this was the problem that we ran into, and it's a problem that unfortunately screws up almost every high school party. Did you have the dudes trying to fight? Because that is what fucks up every high school party.
Oh, yeah. Because it's your first exposure to alcohol, and you don't know what this is. These days, if I have the urge to fight at a bar, I remind myself, you're an idiot. You drank vodka when Aaron said not to. Yeah. That's all this is.
Yeah. Well, you know, my days are probably significantly earlier than you guys' days.
Right.
So in my days, it was very touchy-feely. It was okay to grab a chick's ass or, you know, stuff like that. And that would always cause a fight.
Yep.
There was always, you know, hey, you know, touch my chick or my chick or, you know, but she's wearing a toga, you know, whatever it is, you know, but yeah, there was always fights.
Because that the dude fighting thing always ruined it for us. In that party that I mentioned, the big one, we actually had to have dudes with fully automatic airsoft rifles.
Ooh.
And they were standing at the front. Because it started getting out of hand, and the dudes were like, hey, those aren't real guns. And he's like, yeah, but it'll still hurt if I shoot you in the face.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Mine, sophomore year, I'd not really come out of my shell yet, all right? I was still like the weird metalhead kid that only had like four friends and watched horror movies. I was on the wrestling team, but I wasn't like the captain, and I wasn't really a fun guy yet. And the first time my parents were going out of town for the entire weekend and leaving me untethered. So anyways, my dad even said, hey, it's okay if you have a couple of your buddies over on Saturday, you know, or Friday, whatever it was. And the thing is, he said that because I only had four fucking friends.
Right.
Right.
Right? So he's like, and no way to get beer. I lived in the fucking suburbs. So anyways, I'm like, all right, cool. But I'm like, all right, I got to throw a party. Someone, you know, like, you know, I got to get some girls there. I'm sure someone will have beer. So my dumb ass thought, here's what my logic was. I better start inviting lots of people now at the beginning of the week so I'm not embarrassed when no one shows up to my party. Because in my head, that was the danger. That so, like, some girls were going to show up. It would just be me and my fucking two loser friends. And they'd be like, fuck this. I'm like, oh, I don't want that to be happening. Right. I will not go down as the kid that threw the bunkest party ever.
Right.
So anyway, I started getting the word out to people on Monday.
You're just promoting.
Yeah, I was fucking promoting. Yeah, I was like a fucking club promoter. I'm like, hey guys, you know, my parents are going to be out of the town all weekend. You know what that means? And so anyways, I'm like, oh man, I think I might be able to get like up to like 11 or 12 people at this thing. And then all of a sudden, I knew I'd fucked up on Wednesday when I had seniors I'd never met before coming up to me going like, what's your fucking address?
Wow.
Oh, man.
We'll see you on Friday, bro. Where's your address? Write down your address. Now, I'm starting to panic, right?
Yeah.
As I should be, because I'm like, dude, fucking teachers are coming up asking what they can bring.
Yeah. monster.
I have your friend's fucking deadbeat dad showing up. Like, I heard about the party.
You need someone put down?
Yeah. I'm like the bouncer. So anyways, I'm ready to pull the plug, right? I'm going to pull the plug. I'm like, this is out of control. People I've never met are fucking... I got hobos coming up to me. But all of a sudden... Michelle Carell.
I knew it.
Oh. Michelle Carell.
Always the worst.
Never gave me the time of day. Never so much as said hello to me. She was the first girl in school with double D's, and she had the face of a French supermodel. Right. And she, like, literally, she like sat next to me in history. She like smoked cigarettes. I'm like, God, she's so. Yeah. Oh man,
she liked to try new things.
Yeah, she. Yeah, I'm like, she's so cool. She hung out with like only the coolest people, and I'm like, all of a sudden she comes up and goes, hey, I'm really looking forward to your party on Friday, Rye. I'm like, she called me Rye.
Oh, wow.
I hate that, but it sounds good when she says it. Oh, my God. Party's on.
Yeah.
Party's on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, party's on. She did not show up, but 400 strangers did. And then the cops. And by the way, I was, by the time the cops did show up,
oh, you're relieved.
I was like, thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm like hugging them. I'm like, oh, God, save me from myself. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yeah. So, and I lived facing a canyon. So I had like this balcony. And all of a sudden the cops came. It was like World War Z.
Yes.
Kids were spilling off the side of the balcony, just falling freely into the canyon and tumbling down.
I've done that. We were at a party at a rich person's house nearby one of my buddy's house, and we were in the backyard. The cops came. We were on a balcony overlooking a canyon, and the cops show up, and immediately we just jump off this thing, which is like a 15-foot fall onto a sloped canyon. Like, there's no better way to break an ankle, but we somehow survive. And I still remember to this day, one of the funniest things is the cops came running as everybody started spilling over, and a light shone down upon me from one of those big cop mag lights as he had me in the light, and he's like, hey, you. He's like, hey, you freeze. And I was like, You're a kid, and there's a cop, and you're like, stop. And then I looked, and I was like, wait, he's not jumping. I'm going down there. Fuck this.
Yeah, I always love that. Don't move. Yeah, okay.
And they had then they posted up at the edges, like the canyon, the trail canyon entrances to like bust kids as they were coming out. I remember half of our juvenile delinquency was spent avoiding or working your way around the cops.
Man. I also had to recently break up a party as a quote-unquote adult.
Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, my cousins, we live like in an attached apartment to a house next door.
I've been your pad.
Yeah, and my cousins, little cousins are, you know, became teenagers or whatever, and they decided they wanted to have a party. Their parents said it was okay, which I have no idea why they would do that.
Right.
But they did. They had a DJ, whatever, whatever. But, you know, man, this is in the ghetto, man. And, you know, and the crowd got rough and the crowd got big.
Your friend's mom showed up.
Yeah. When they wanted them to leave, they didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I get the knock on the door. Hey, can you help us get rid of them?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, fuck.
Did you put on your thug gear? You, like, put on a bandana? You know,
somehow it's just like, it's kind of timeless. Kids will respond to an essay with a bat.
That's right. It's absolutely true.
And that was it, you know. So, but also too, to my little cousins, I was, oh man, we thought you were cool.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, man. You do hate to hear that, though. You do hate to hear that.
It sinks my heart a little bit.
Because we all said we wouldn't be that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But then again, like just the other night.
Not me. I'm excited about being that guy at some point.
I had a hard look in the mirror the other night because at three, me and Aaron sleep with our window open. And it faces the street, but I live in a quiet suburb. You guys both been there. And so anyways, at 3 a.m., these, I don't know how old they were, at minimum, like, they were teenagers, at most early 20s. They were just walking up the street, just talking to each other loudly. And it woke me up, fucking woke my dog up and started howling, woke Aaron up, and just babbling, like, yeah, you know, there's certain things about me that people should understand, blah, 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 blah. And so I'm like, motherfucker. And all of a sudden I hear them coming back the other way. They're just strolling around. Man, so I went running out in my fucking boxers and went, yo, you all lost? They're like, they both froze. They're like, because all of a sudden a door flies open in the middle of the night. And here's a 6'1" angry man in underpants.
Yeah.
I'm like, you all lost? They're like, no. I'm like, want to keep it the fuck down? It's 3 a.m. What'd you try coke for the first time?
Yo,
get the
shit.
Fuck off my street. And I went back inside. I'm like, oh, who have I become?
They're like, how did he know?
Yeah.
It's,
oh, I know.
It's funny about when you mentioned, people with baseball bats. I think back to some of the stupid things we did regarding parties. back to the same friend's house. This is a different time, a smaller party in which his mom did stick around. And we had gone out and gotten a bunch of booze. And you know how it is when you're in high school and you get booze. That's a big deal. You got to find somebody to buy it for you. You have to, it costs, you know, your relative
income. It's like scoring coke now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you get like talk to some people.
Right. Huh? And you don't necessarily, like you have side jobs. You're working little jobs. You're not making a lot of money. So that $30 bottle of vodka is a huge investment, right?
You ever get ripped off by a guy buying it for you?
No. No. Thankfully, we had good, solid people. But we did that, and we had vodka, we had rum, we had a bunch of stuff, we had some girls over, we were having a great time, and we invited the buddy whose house it is. Some of his other friends came by. That was cool. We were okay with them. They came, and they thought it would be funny to grab all of our booze out of the freezer, steal it, and leave while we are having this party.
Not cool.
And this is a small shindig, 20-some-odd people, real small. So all of a sudden, we go to the thing, we see them run away giddy laughing like little schoolgirls, and we're like, oh, that's interesting. I guess they decided
to
leave the party.
Get the ball peen hammer.
We go in to go, hey, where's the booze? Oh, I see what happened. And all of a sudden, the mob mentality of you stole our booze turned crazy because six of us instantly just grabbed baseball bats, hopped in the car, drove to their house, which is, by the way, their parents' house because we're 16.
Right.
Kicked in the front door.
What?
Woo!
And started yelling, where's our booze? His mom and dad are sitting in the living room. That is not, we are not looking at them. We are in like the kitchen area. They're like, we didn't steal it. We didn't take it. We're like, you're clearly lying. We have pinned these guys up against their cabinets with baseball bats. I think back on how easily we could have been shot, arrested, anything else.
Dude, how many years?
That's a home invasion.
It's an armed home invasion.
I think
we have baseball bats.
That's 4 to 9 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Here is the best part. At one point, from the kitchen.
So what are the parents doing?
They're watching TV, and they can hear this ruckus going on, and the mom yells, hey, you guys, quiet down in there.
Wow.
My buddy yells one of the most vulgar lines you could yell at a woman in her own house, and so mute it if you have kids listening, but he yells, shut that cunt up before I shut her up for you.
Wow.
In her house while we have baseball bats. It was the most stupid, ridiculous thing. And they still wouldn't give up.
911, what's your emergency?
Yeah, right? They still wouldn't give up the booze, so we just stole all of his dad's booze and left.
Sounds fair.
Yeah, that's a good trade.
And
I'll be like Pawbob.
Probably
that's
went
what we
up
got.
A step in quality.
Yeah. Right? He's got mid-shelf shit.
Man.
And we figured like it's great for two reasons. One, we get booze back, so it's an eagle. But then two, he's got to explain to his dad what just happened and why it happened.
Oh yeah, but he'll just say that you were insane.
Right.
Yeah, he's like, well,
we were insane. We fucking did a home invasion robbery.
That's crazy.
Don't worry, Dad. You're just gonna have well drink weed.
So now, Big Frog. Speaking of jail and all that, I did want to have you on for a very specific reason. The last time you were on, we designated you our prison correspondent.
Right.
Now, since then, I went out for an audition on one of those I Killed My Spouse shows on ID Discovery, which I've said before when I talked about it initially. I can fathom killing your spouse in a fit of rage.
Right.
And I can fathom it like she's fucking someone else and leaving you and tormenting you. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I just cannot ever fathom is not she's cheating, not a fit of rage. It's those guys like, I want to be single again, but I don't want to pay alimony.
Right.
So I'm going to roll the dice on life without parole.
Right.
Yeah. I can't fathom that. And it evidently happens all the time.
Man, go to Costa Rica.
Right. You know, yeah. Just fucking bail.
Or Florida. You don't have to go to Costa Rica.
Yeah. So now, what is so fascinating, I think this is why I watch these I Killed My Spouse shows, or as Aaron calls them, lady shows, is that these dudes don't belong in jail. Oh, they do belong in jail if they killed their spouse.
Right.
But like a gangster going to jail, that's a lateral move.
Right.
He's going to be fine.
Right.
War Machine going to jail.
Right.
He's going to be fine.
Right.
In some Mexican gangs, that's how you get your cred. You have to go to jail.
Yeah,
right?
Fuck, man. It's like going to college.
Yeah.
But Frog, were you ever in with like a white collar guy that did not fucking belong there? And went,
yeah.
Ooh, no, okay.
It was funny too, because it was during that time, I was in a dorm living setting.
Okay.
And we had this guy, he's a white dude.
Busted into a dude's house looking for his booze.
He
tried to find his dad.
And he was actually accused of harming his wife.
Okay.
He said he didn't do it.
Right.
Are we talking like slapped her around or like put her in a coma?
He didn't get specific. he didn't have to. Right. Yeah. You know, I didn't have any status to ask for his paperwork.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Do you guys know about paperwork?
No.
Okay. When you go in to a prison setting and you're going to be in a prison gang now,
yeah,
they demand to see your paperwork.
Oh, so you can't lie that you're in for murder. Yeah.
I need to see your resume and CV, please. Some references. Exactly,
I've got a new headshot.
Right. So basically that's how they figure out who you are.
Yeah.
You know? And you have to. There's no. You know, I don't have it.
Yeah.
You have it.
Yeah.
No, everybody has it.
Okay.
But anyway, so I didn't know exactly what this dude's status was. He was a nice guy, smart guy, and he knew how to make good booze. He made, you know, really clean Pruno, which is hard to do.
It's hard to come by. You know.
And unfortunately, you know, that was his uprising,
mm-hmm.
and it was also his downfall.
Why is that?
Because people, you know, he was like the dope man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But without
enforcement
dope man muscle.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So
shit.
He became like the slave dope man.
Oh, you know? So you have to make
you
it.
You have
now.
To make it. You have to make it. Well, you know, he'd be like, well, it's kind of hot right now because it got. Fuck that. You're making it.
Wow.
You know, well, you know, right now I don't have the. Fuck that. You're making it.
So he's like Jesse Pinkman the last season of Breaking Bad. He's just chained to it.
And you know, and I guess one time, you know, he got lumped up. They didn't hurt him too bad because they still needed him.
Right.
So he didn't make it in time, so they fucked him up?
Whatever it was, or he didn't give the right person the right percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can, when you're not cut out for it, it can be rough.
I would imagine so. It just seems like it's too different a lifestyle if you are not used to it.
Like I said, like if it's a thug, it's like whatever, there's some other hard folks that are on the outside too. But if you're a dude that was like an attorney or like an accountant and you kill your wife and all of a sudden you're being put into jail with people you'd never associate with.
And you know the funny thing is you don't even have to go to prison for it to get way weirder than you thought. I was explaining to Lonnie, to my girl, you know, because of, you know, people drive under the influence of whatever, and they don't realize that if they get pulled over, if they get taken to jail, there's not a nice guy jail that you go to.
Yeah. The holding cell is the same if you're a gangster or you're DUI.
Yeah. It's all the same. You're still going to fucking lift your nut sack. You're going to spread your butt cheeks.
Yep.
You're going to do all that shit. Even if you're a girl, you're going to fucking...
Well, the nut sack maybe not.
Yeah, but then you got to open that cooch.
Yeah.
You got to open that butthole and you're not even getting paid. You know?
It can be a culture shock, I'm sure, for a lot of people. Was there anyone, is it true that scenario where if they know that there's like a scared white guy coming in that they chant fresh fish?
I've never seen that. I've never heard it.
That's a disappointment.
No, there is that fucking, that's the new guy.
Yeah.
Okay. You know,
of course.
But it's quiet.
Okay. It's like, so there's not like outward intimidation right away.
You might, if you're intimidated by like the whispers.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But like, you know, when you walk in a room and it suddenly gets quiet.
Yeah.
And you could tell everybody's kind of checking you out. Oh, that's what it's more.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what I did recently.
It's still scary, though.
What I did recently, Ryan, one of those clickbait articles came up, like the unofficial rules of prison. And I was like, I want to check these out, you know, just in case. Feel some of them out. See if.
As opposed to the official.
Yeah, rules. Right.
Yeah.
Frog, you tell me if these ring true.
Okay.
One of them was you always have to double check before you take crap in a toilet because in some cells, there's two toilets and one of them's used for like laundry and stuff and it's not meant for crap. Is that true?
Well, I've never seen a cell with two toilets.
Oh, yeah?
Not a regular
like
cell.
Like a holding cell.
Maybe a holding cell, yeah. But if you're in a holding cell, then you're
laundry.
Not washing clothes.
Yeah.
What about...
also, too, it is impossible to explain to them that stuff that you use to mop the floor is not disinfecting that toilet enough that you're not having bacteria all over your fucking clothes. Even though they're gleaming white, they're dirty as fuck.
Yeah.
But you can't explain that to anybody.
Oh, wow.
That's their way of doing it.
What about the idea that if you have to take a deuce in a cell, you got to wait till morning because if you take a deuce at night, then your cellmate has to sit there and smell your shit the entire time as opposed to right before you get out in the morning.
Well, here's the thing with that. I mean, obviously, I don't know how long you could hold a deuce if you really
you got to go.
Basically, he understands, you understand. But what you do is it's a push button. flush, right?
Right.
And since it's not like regulated, like you don't have a tank.
Yeah.
So basically, you have to hold your thumb on that thing the whole time you're shitting, just like drop. So there's always water flowing.
Yeah.
And
so
it's never
smell.
Sitting there.
Yeah.
You can also, it has enough pressure that you can sit on the toilet and fart. And hit that thing,
oh, nice.
And it will suck the fart down with it too.
That's pretty.
So yeah, that's
courteous of you there, Big Frog.
You're gonna have a moment of fucking smelling shit, but it's
here
not
is
that
the one that I found the most interesting, and I think I'm just gonna start doing this in regular life. They were talking about if you have to take a deuce, and there, I think this is more like if you have multiple people, not necessarily just in a cell, but in a place where there's a lot of people, and you have to take a deuce. You take one leg of your pants off so that you don't get caught with your pants down. If you have to fight all of a sudden, you can pop up and fight.
Right, right. That would be a good idea. You know? That would be a good idea. If you're in like some type of a public space.
Yeah, holding cell.
Mixed races and mixed people. And
yeah,
definitely. That would be a good
idea. I just love this idea. Like, I'm going to start taking shits right now with just one pant leg on just in case Jill decides to start
Bobby
something.
Bobby loves anything tactical and practical.
That's right.
Before we get out of here, Big Frog, I want to talk to you just a little bit, give a plug to your, you have a series you do on YouTube. It's the 99 Cent Store Chronicles, right?
Right, Big Frog.
Which I love because I've been going to 99 Cent Store since I was a kid. Like, that is just what we did. 99 Cent Stores, thrift stores, what, you want to buy something new? Go fuck yourself. It's all secondhand, penny saver, garage sales.
What is it and how can people find it?
Well, basically, I just, you know, like you said, I go to 99 Cent Stores a lot because I'm broke a lot.
Right.
You know? So in there, I can feel like I'm a baller.
Yeah. You know? Oh, don't you,
get
though?
Get anything you want. You know? Yeah. So, you know, I've found enough funny shit, and, you know, that I was like, you know what, man, this could be a thing.
Yeah.
Just as a stage for me to fucking just talk shit.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So I go, you know, like pretty soon I'm going to do a Halloween episode, you know.
Oh, I'll be tuning in for that.
There are Halloween stuff, you know. And so, you know, they're usually between, like, I have the quick hits, which are a minute or less, so I can get them on Instagram or whatever. Yep. And then I have the longer ones where it's more in depth. This week I'm doing one because I found that they have weed tests, like urine.
Really?
At the 99 cent store?
So I'm going to reveal whether or not they work.
Let's see if it works.
Yeah.
If not, that would actually be great if they didn't work, because then kids who are smoking weed could be like, look, Mom, I'm clean.
Yeah. Oh, dude, just test me and Bobby. I don't smoke weed. He does.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be a good control.
There you go.
Yeah, because you got to do a clean one. Yeah.
I love this idea. This is brilliant, and it's one of those feelings that are still unique and people aren't doing. So I'm looking forward to seeing some more of these. I already saw your pool noodle episode and a few of the other ones.
Yeah. Now, it's on YouTube, correct?
Right.
What do people search for that?
There's a chat, Big Frog's 99 Cent Store Chronicle.
And remember, if you want to add Big Frog on Facebook, make sure you follow him. He's a very funny guy. Enrique, thanks for coming on.
Right on.
Bobby, I'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Enrique, Big Frog, and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos. It's weird I let a child drink till he's blacked out and then he'd misbehave. Ooh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Ooh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Ooh, 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 motherfucking time is passing by. Kids will respond to an essay with a bat.